For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Saying I'm gonna try to pull the chat up.
All right, we are live.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Here we go. I'm gonna double check it on my end as well, Robbie.
Yep. We are live.
Sweet.
I see it. What's up, everybody?
Michael, how's it going? Live chat. That's what I'm talking about.
Dude, ABB, how are you doing today, sir?
Hey, I am doing awesome. I'm excited for this, to be honest with you. Very excited for, hey, it's actually episode 100.
Hey.
Which I'm super excited about. And we were just talking, it's been a wild ride, right?
I remember coming up with this concept and proposing it with, it was like, hey, we've got Griplocked at the time, Trevor Staub show at the time, debate night. Didn't really have like a, its identity was rambling.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the best way to put it was, it
that's
was
fair.
A stream of consciousness of Brody and Hunter. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so came up with this idea of like, when you walk into a golf pro shop, they'll have a guy like there to help you build your bag. And so that is, that's what we wanted to try to create in the disc golf world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it like you said, it's been awesome. Just we've met so many cool people, and you know, for me, I've grown a ton. You know, I've been learning this whole time along with everybody else, and I've been very grateful for that. And so, thank you for all of you for listening to us for 100 episodes. That's crazy. I think we're going to hear from some of those folks tonight, but we've heard a lot of good recommendations, a lot of learning going out there with everybody else. And, you know, I'm just very grateful for that. And, you know, come a long way. Episode 1, all discraft bag. Episode 100, a little bit of everything.
Dude, that's the key. It's all about evolving. It's funny, like looking at my own bag, I feel like my personal bag has been in more turmoil as of late when it comes to, like what's staying, what's not than ever before.
Yeah.
So, but tonight we got a fun time lined up. We have essentially, we've got guests lined up every 10 minutes. So that way that gives us time to sort of, respond, and talk about things after. And also if we end up with tech complications, the temptation was to go every 5 minutes, but
yeah,
it really was chaos.
Yeah. So yeah, appreciate all you tuning in live here. It's pretty awesome. Yes, we were off last week. Just it didn't seem right, you know. We had some other stuff going on, and we just wanted this one to be special. We wanted to spend it with you all and some of the folks we've had in the past. So thanks for hanging out. Let's see Michael, Daniel, Caleb in the chat. How's it going, everybody? Thanks for tuning in. So our first guest, I love Robbie gave me a spreadsheet to tell me like kind of what episode these folks are coming from. So our first guest is coming from all the way back in episode 74.
Yeah.
I do remember this, and it's funny, like even just seeing some of these disc recommendations, how my mind has changed about a lot of them too, which is pretty funny.
Yeah. I'll be curious, like as you, cause I mean, the furthest back we're going today, we have two people in the 90s. Funny that like Colin was ready to jump on it. He's one of our he's early on in the lineup. Mm-hmm. But he was literally like our last guest that came on for a standard episode.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's funny like going back to episode 55 and looking, and it's like, oh, we had the quake. Okay, sick. That's become, I feel like, a foundation staple.
It's my new favorite over stable midrange. I love it.
Yeah. But you have like the quake episode 55 when we recommended this was almost a year ago.
Yeah, that's crazy to think. So crazy. Yeah, I mean, you think about it. I mean, what, episode 104 is technically 2 years, Robbie?
Yeah.
If my math is correct, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, time flies. So as we are waiting for our first guest here, which is going to be Eli, Robbie, how's stuff changed for you? I mean, you've been on the other end of this, right? So you're guiding me through all this crazy stuff. You're helping make disc recommendations. I mean, what's the ride been like for you?
Yeah, it's been interesting because I think one of the things that when we first came up with this concept of In the Bag was like, okay, eventually will we run out of like things to suggest? Because you can only if a opportunity comes up and it's like, oh, they need an overstable punt approach disc. Okay, well, there's a bunch of different options that exist in that world.
Right.
So how do you like, do we just continue to recommend the same ones over and over again? Do you adjust? But then it got to the fun of like, it's almost a game every week of, okay, based on what they've picked, what do I want to like also try? Like, oh, they're familiar with Prodigy. Do we want to walk down a Prodigy recommendation, or do we want to open their eyes to like a different brand type deal? Because I think we've had episodes where that worked and where that didn't. And has it kind of opened your eyes, Brad, to like, there are some manufacturers that you're just like, I just can't do it. Like I'm trying really hard, but I can't. Or do you feel like you've been able to evolve and sort of like even opening your mind to initial hesitations?
Yeah, I think the biggest testament to my mind being open is I've bagged a Shaman for a while. If you'd ask me like a year ago if I'd ever have Gateway in my bag, I would have said absolutely not, no way, no how, would never do it. But again, it made me like way more open and receptive to new things. So I mean, when that's Shaman and Connor together. When Connor started throwing Shaman, it kind of started being his thing. I'm like, man, I really kind of need that slot. Or even, I mean, I think to be fair, like Jesse and the Inner Core, when that stuff started coming out, I was like excited about it, right? I think it's really opened my mind a lot. It's made me less scared to grab new plastic. Like, I mean, we just got some Jester discs in as well. So there's a Dreamweaver that just like feels incredible. And I know it's a very small company. They have very few like molds, but I'm ready to like jump in and try them, I think. And, you know, it's made me want to like Castoplast is like an example. I'm looking at them right now. They're a brand I just kind of want to try. I haven't really found a spot in my bag for it, but I'm like, always open-minded to like, hey, if I need that slot, I'm going to try Castoplast maybe first. So I think that answers your question. But yeah, just a lot more receptive overall because I found so many good discs at this point because I've had an open mind, because you've recommended different things. And maybe, you know, maybe the F7 wasn't like my disc of choice, but it really helped me understand why a flippy fairway is something I needed to add to my bag, where before maybe I'd have been a little scared for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'd be curious for those of you in the chat. We got about 20 people lined up right now, so that's fantastic. For those of you in the chat, obviously, I would say like our most recommended brand has been a Gyro of some sort. It's kind of the hot craze, and it's also one of the recommendation things we always run into is what do we actually have available in the warehouse? And so thankfully having pretty much there's always some form of MVP that can be recommended. That's been helpful, but I'd be curious, like for the chat, what's a company that we've not recommended a lot of that you're like, hey, because that also opens our eyes to ordering to have it in for testing options, things like that. But it's 7:10. We want to bring Eli in to talk to first guest.
Let's bring him in. Here we go.
What's Eli, up, Eli?
What is up? Hey, how's it going, y'all?
Hey, glad to hear from you. We are, you know, unlike the last podcast, we are live. So it's we're glad to have you back. I know it's been a few minutes since we saw you. So let us know. How's everything going?
Oh, it's been great. Biggest change is I've moved back to Colorado. So all my discs are super overstable again.
Okay. There you go. That's awesome. Well, glad to, I hope it's a good thing you're back in Colorado. I hear it's nice out there. We're sending Jonah back out there very soon, and our boy Jesse lives out there, so it must not be too bad of a place, right? So, Robbie, for sake of time, I know we've kind of prepped our guests today for like a little bit of like questions and things like that. If you want to start leading Eli down through that, I'm eager to hear about the cinnamon, but I want to hear the questions you have lined up first.
Yeah. So we sent you a Clash cinnamon. Let's talk about like what Eli, if you can recount, because obviously for people, there's 100 episodes out there. So remembering sort of the what we were targeting. Talk about the hole that was in your bag or like the area that we were targeting, were there discs around it? And how did the cinnamon either fit or not fit into that area?
Okay, so the basic slot was a straight to slightly overstable control driver because mm-hmm. I had 7 speeds that I liked, but I wanted something that was just had a little more go and maybe a little more reliable in the wind. So I believe we looked at the cinnamon and the passion and ended up deciding on the cinnamon. Mm-hmm. And I will say, I love how that disc feels. It has that deep kind of chunky rim, almost like a mini Force.
Okay.
But it's not nearly as overstable.
Right.
So I used it and I really liked it at sea level. But when I came back to 5,000 feet, it kind of started flying a little like a Raptor. So I've since filled it with another disc.
Okay. Yeah. What was the disc that you filled it in with?
I currently have 2. I have a flippy Yuli Raptor that, I can flip to flat or get some turn out of. And then I have an old ESP Glow Undertaker. That's kind of the more, maybe a little more turn on that one.
Yeah. It's so interesting thinking about those discs, being so overstable and I've not played in altitude. So I would just love to do that at some point just to really feel that. Again, I'm not a bomber, so I probably would feel it pretty dramatically, I'd imagine, but it would be fun. So before you went to Colorado, though, cinnamon flew great for you. It was working for you in the slot.
Yeah, I ended up liking it a lot. It was I didn't get as much flip out of it as I expected, but it was great. Just something I could throw flat and it would go straight and always had that fade.
Okay. Have you tried the Lotus at all?
No, I have not.
That'd be interesting. I think, is a Lotus faster, Robbie, or is it a 9-speed as well? I can't remember.
The Lotus is a 9-speed. Yeah.
I think it might even be an 8, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah. Very possible. Very possible.
I will say that's maybe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Robbie, but I think that's maybe Clash's, there's a few little like holes really in their lineup, and I think that really flippy like fairway is kind of their like gap, because the Soda is like a negative 2-2, but in my experience, the Soda is not as flippy as one would expect it to be.
Yeah, I think the struggle that I have with the Soda and the Cookie personally is always that it ends up being, because of that rounded bottom, I just cannot get it's so difficult to get the nose down on them because it almost like wants to skip out of your hand and glide up, which makes that like the turn not feel so apparent. I want to ask one question, Eli, because of the fact that we're flying through, obviously, we want to say thank you for being on.
Yes.
But with you switching to more having the Undertaker in that slot, the Undertaker, I feel like, is a disc within Discraft's lineup that you could mold minimalize with the Undertaker just because there's a billion runs of them out there. How is that? Was the Undertaker in your bag before you went back to Elevation? And if not, like, how was the journey of finding the right Undertaker?
Yeah. So I actually had, before you guys even sent me the cinnamon, I had the same run as the 2017 Memorial ESP Glow, and I lost it. And I was so sad. It was my perfect Heiser flip disc, and you can't find any of them. So I tried a bunch. I got other Undertakers, and they were always way more overstable than I wanted, even more than getting close to Raptor level. Mm-hmm. And then I recently found someone on eBay selling that exact same run. So I managed to pick that guy up. But I found that unless you get like an ESP, especially up here at 5,000 feet, an Undertaker is going to be pretty stable right out of the box.
Mm-hmm. And so what about controversial topic for me, or just for me, is the passion. Do you throw a passion at all? Have you tried the passion in that slot? I know it's going to be flippy, but maybe elevation, that straight disc you're looking for?
Mm-hmm. So I tried a passion probably over a year ago now. So I wasn't throwing nearly as far. And it was okay. I didn't love the hand feel, and I found it to be...
Same, right here, yeah, in my heart. Same.
Yeah, it was really touchy. I felt like if I hyzered it at all, it was just going to go left. And then if I threw it on the tiniest bit of anhyzer, it just went right the entire way. So I didn't really love it. So I've taken it out. I use the Cicada or the XL for that slot now, that kind of slower straight disc.
Yeah, Cicada, that'd be a great choice for sure. Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, can't help elevation, but I think, you know, we were talking about this earlier today. I think really what the goal of the podcast is, not only just that, you know, we hope the disc works right as a recommendation, but more so it's more of like, let's think about the gap that we're talking about. Let's think of something to fit there just to like kind of round out your game. So it sounds like you're well on your way there, and you've picked up something that works great for you. So like Robbie said, I think, you know, you could easily go mold minimalist and jump on a couple more Undertakers to just kind of fill out that whole fairway slot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've really been liking the heat for my flippy disc up here at elevation, because especially that dome, you really need domey discs up here at elevation. But I could see another flippy Undertaker coming in the bag, maybe.
Awesome. I love it. Well, I wish you the best of luck and finding the one you're looking for. Chat, Green Apples in the chat is saying the Z Sparkle Ledgestone Undertaker rock out. So
I actually have one of those.
Okay. Here we go. Yep. Here we go. So, well, dude, we appreciate you coming back on, Eli, and I wish you the best of luck continuing to round it out, feeling like you're basically starting over at elevation. So it's a great time.
Yeah, and just like we did last time, and we're just going to do this live, just make sure you hit the leave button when you leave. Make sure you let everything upload, and then we'll see you when we see you. But, yeah, if you need anything, let us know. Glad to hear that you're hanging out in elevation, and thanks for coming back on. We appreciate you greatly.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. I appreciate you.
No problem. We'll see you later. All right. That's interesting. That maybe is one of the few, because I think we had another guest that had the opposite, right? They were in Colorado and they moved to Michigan, I believe, is that particular guest. So interesting that we got someone that went back into elevation. And, you know, again, I said it when we were talking to him, but I'd love that experience to go play in elevation, just to really, I think maybe just to understand it more. Like, I get it. I get the science behind it, right? But I would really love to just see and, like, play around and really feel like, oh, wait, what do you mean my uplink is, like, straight now? You know what I mean?
Yeah. It is, like, I very rarely seem like – rarely encounter people, especially being here, because I haven't traveled to elevation. But I have now played with several folks coming from elevation down here. And their adjustment period is pretty wild. I think of Ben Strozier, Jesse, both honestly playing the same course for the first time in Alabama when they came out of elevation. And I'm always nervous because that first hole, there is a rushing river behind this wall of trees on the right.
Yeah. And,
like, Jesse gets here, first throws this like wraith that he tells me has like a special story to it and everything. And it just turns all the way over straight into the water, and it was like, no.
Yikes.
So when Ben got here, I was like, yo, Ben, just be careful. Don't yeet this thing. Like, as you can't put enough hyzer on it. Let's just
That's funny.
So
all right. So we have, it looks like Zach next. We can go ahead and grab him if you're ready.
Yeah, let's do it.
And hey chat, thanks everyone for hanging out, by the way. Just checking in over there. We definitely need to recommend some more Lone Star and Thought Space, Robbie. So we'll put that in the back of our mind for some of the next episodes. So, all right, let's jump in with Zach.
What's up, Zach? How's it going, man?
What's up, guys?
How's it going? Well, we are live. So good to have you back. It's been a few episodes, right? Been about 30 episodes or so since we've seen you. How's everything going? How's life? How's disc golf?
Everything's good. Life is fantastic. I have a tournament tomorrow morning. Went in practice for that today. Don't know how much longer I'm going to be playing disc golf for, but it's cool.
Yeah.
it's going to be fantastic. Hopefully tomorrow goes well and we get some W's.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Robbie prepared some nice notes for me. I'm just like kind of remembering what we really recommended for you. And I guess one of the questions Robbie is asking is, you know, just recap us a little bit from your episode. What spot were we really looking at? And then we can talk a little bit about the disc. Did it work? Did it not work? And that sort of thing.
So essentially, I had a lot of holes in my mid-range game. And by a lot of holes, I had no mid-range game. So you guys helped me out. I believe you sent me a fission hex in a lobster.
Yes.
I think it was a sublime lobster.
Yes.
The hex was great. It got stolen about a week after you guys sent it.
Oh, no. I hate that.
And then I replaced it, and that one got really beaten. And then I bought a Lizotto, and yeah. I still have a hex in the bag. It's not the original hex.
Okay.
And the lobster has become a staple of my game. Anybody that plays with me knows I bust the lobster out for a lot of different shots.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Mostly hyzer flip forehands and turnover backhands.
Yeah. That's awesome. So what do you feel like the lobster – did the lobster give you some extra confidence in your mid-range game? Do you really feel like it like lets you really lean into that part of your game? Or how's it really changed how you play?
So essentially, since getting the lobster, I've gone more understable in my game. Mm-hmm. So it's given me more confidence in throwing understable discs, which I didn't really have before. I was worried about yanking everything over.
Mm-hmm.
The lobster has also given me confidence in relying on mid ranges when I used to rely on like fairways, essentially. Mm-hmm. So now I'm throwing things like the lobster where I used to try to throw like the it or something a little bit faster.
Right. And so what, and how has that been helpful? Like, what do you notice differently? Is it more like placement seems more confident, or what's really changed? What made you change your mindset?
Control feels more confident.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess placement kind of falls into that, but control, like I actually feel like I can throw the disc and kind of shape it into where I need to go.
Yeah. No, I feel that way too. And I feel like the lobster did the exact same thing for me, Zach. When I started bagging it, it was, I felt like I could give it a little bit of like cheddar on it. If I was really throwing it, I didn't have to like kill it right to make it turn, but I did have to give it a little salsa to throw it and make it turn. But I didn't feel like I had to kill it like a driver, right? Or I didn't feel like it was so touchy that I couldn't throw a turnover shot. And it really made me, especially wooded lines and things I needed to do like a slight turn or like make sure it didn't like fade out at the end. It just gave me a lot of confidence there too. So I think the lobster really did that for me. The origin is there for me now. And maybe it's just more of my arm speed has maybe increased since then. Maybe I've gotten a little like, and my release angles change a little bit. So the origin is really doing the work for me there, but I would have to agree with you. That's kind of what that's done for me as well. Robbie, with someone that has more experience and can throw farther and everything like you, I know that's this like, you know, slightly flippy mid-range is still very important to you. What does it really do for you?
Yeah. So it's, I've had the pleasure of getting to play with Zach several times. And I know that one thing that we focused on was like, when we talked about the it, when Zach was committing to like an Anheuser angle,
mm-hmm.
the smoothness wasn't necessarily there to get the fairway drivers. So it was hitting understable discs so hard that like that it was almost unusable for Zach because it was like, it just no matter, he couldn't convince like his body to throw it on a hyzer flip smooth. It was like a, yeah, eat that thing. And then it just turns all the way over into infinity.
Right.
So it was fun. I got to play with Zach a couple weeks ago, doing practice round for the tournament that I played, and like him talking about throwing this lobster as a staple. I feel it because we had a lot of like tunnel shots in front of us. And so I think having something, depending on your arm speed, something that's really flippy can be really helpful, but you want to find that balance. So like for some people, the lobster is not as flippy as let's say an uplink is. But having that like really understable disc, because like for me throwing a lobster, it's going to be uplink flippy with my like natural throw. So I want to shift over to where an origin for like Brad and Jason, an origin is going to be a straight flyer that unless you yam over on that thing on some backhand like flex, it's going to get the full flight almost every single time. So finding that balance, And I love that, like, the Hex has kind of earned its spot because, mm-hmm. honestly, I feel like the Hex and the Lobster almost complement each other. Would you say that, like, exists, Zach?
Yeah, I would say that. Currently, the lineup is, like, the Hex. It's, like, the -1/1. I have a Mana that's, like, the -2/1, and the Lobster -3/1, and it's just kind of like, how flippy do you want me?
Yep. Yeah. I hear that.
And I actually love that you even described, like, what do you use the Lobster for? I use it for flip-up forehands and turnover backhands. Like, yeah. That just tells me the touch that you have, Zach, that you've learned with that flip-up forehand. Because lots of people can do that with a flippy fairway or are trying to learn it. But to be able to do with a mid-range is chef's kiss.
Yep. Yeah, that's great.
So
awesome.
Dude, well, Zach, hey, yeah,
so we glad, appreciate you, man. Yeah, so glad to hear that those did so well for you and glad that they worked out. And, hey, sorry your Hex got stolen. That stinks. Yeah, be good people. Let's not steal people's discs.
It's all good. I watched them do it, walked up, and they're like, no. And I was like,
Yeah, I hear you.
Dude, yeah. Final question, because we got to let you – we'll let you go so we can get to our next guest, Zach. You know, we're rapid-firing today. If you had to recommend to someone, like, you don't know their game at all, you're like, all right, here we go. Fresh out the box, you've never seen them throw. Lobster or the Hex, which one are you recommending?
Ooh, fresh out the box?
You've never seen them throw. So you're like, I have no idea. Do they throw 100 feet less than me or 200 feet farther than me?
I'd say Hex.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd say Hex because the Lobster is cool if you have a lower arm speed, but the Hex, no matter what, you can shape a shot with a Hex.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So I would say a Hex.
Okay. I love it. I love it. Well, Zach, we appreciate you. Love the jersey, brother. And we'll see you on the other side.
Yep. Just a reminder, when you hit leave, hang out there until everything's uploaded like last time and you're good to go after that.
Hey, easy peasy, gentlemen. Thank you for having me again. Have a good night.
Yeah. Yes, thanks, sir. Man. Thanks for coming on.
Bank.
I mean, you gotta love that. Not only did, you know, that's when we sent two options to and both of them made the bag. That's pretty good. That's a win.
That's the dream. Also, Chad, I just want to apologize. I don't know if y'all can hear it as loud as it is for me. My dogs, when we record our podcast in the morning, my dogs are fine. When they get to the end of the day, it's like if I'm like, hey, you guys want to go eat breakfast, they'll run to their crates and they'll just chill. But one dog, my problem dog, who is the bane of my existence, he, for some reason, the evening meal can't. Like, he doesn't want to stick around in that crate for longer than the 10 seconds that he inhales it. So I'm having to go on and off of mute because he has actually not stopped barking this entire podcast. So I apologize, that's chat.
That's right. From this side, it's not super loud. So I think we're all right. So before we bring our next guest in, just scrolling through the chat here, Micah loves the Mustang. I think I've seen Micah throw the Mustang on Instagram. I think that we've been tagged in those posts before. So keep it up, Micah. I know you're loving a mint just all the way around. So that's awesome. someone is saying disc golf training wheels is the Berg. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that one.
I completely agree.
Really?
When someone tries to tell me, I have a guy, his name is Baylor. He's local. Great kid. And he throws super far. Like, that's his whole game, is try to throw super far anytime he can. Mm-hmm. And he came up to me like 2 weeks ago and he was like, Robbie, I'm learning touch. And I was like, oh, really? I'm proud of you, man. Like, way to go. And he's like, yeah, I found the Berg and now I just know touch. And I'm like, Baylor, those do not connect, brother. Mm-hmm. But that's fine. Anyone that meets me in person and throws a Berg, I will showcase. I've done it so many times. I'll just showcase right there, live example of why other discs can do what the Berg can do, but more. Mm-hmm. So
that's fine. All right, we'll just leave it there. Hey, I will tease something while our next guest is in the lobby, but I'll let him in a second. But I'll just say it. We got custom Bergs coming, Robbie.
I'm hopeful for you guys. I'm so stoked because there's going to be so many people out there. They're going to throw it. They're going to love it. What was his name? Addison, that won Hydro Club last year.
Oh, he threw a berg all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. And why did he throw a berg all over the place? Because he doesn't have a touch forehand. So he was just like, how can I just power forehand all over this
blast
course?
It.
And it worked. It worked. Yep. It scored well. You have the right tools, it doesn't matter how you get there.
Yep. That's really
true.
You
just work your tools, guys. Work your tools.
K1, soft, K1, and K3 to all those that care. Just saying. It will be custom stamped. And if you're a berg person, you're going to love it. All right. So let's go. Colin is next. Colin's from 99. So we just saw Colin a little bit ago. I'm very curious about this one, Robbie.
I am very curious as well.
All right. Let me let him in. Colin, what is up?
Hey, how are we doing, guys?
Good, man. Hey, we're live, so glad to have you on.
All right. Hey, thanks for having me back. I know it was probably a little weird seeing number 99 back for number 100, but.
Hey, I actually love it. Robbie has pointed out to me on the spreadsheet, and I was like, that's awesome, because we're both genuinely curious for how this experiment has went for you. So I'll let Robbie take you through a few questions, but I'm eager.
Yeah, so we've just been asking folks, like, sort of recap it. Obviously yours was not that long ago, but I mean honestly it was like a month ago, so so recap for those who were in the chat that maybe didn't get a chance to hear and enjoy it live. What was your episode about, and what did we send you?
So we had emailed before, kind of looking at possibly like under a stable putter area, but what we ended up focusing on was episode on lids to kind of teach control, not only for angles, but also power as well, because those were things that I just did not have. So still working on it, but focused on that, and you guys sent me this awesome Axiom pitch here. Only been less than a month, so still have it, still pretty good condition. But yeah, this thing's been absolutely awesome.
I'll say, how's it flying for you?
Oh, it's great. I have to admit, I was a little worried at first. I don't know if worried's the right word. Maybe a little hesitant at first, because I had two different glitches, and I hadn't really been able to connect with them. Those were my only lids that I had, so lids weren't super comfortable. Mm-hmm. But man, I don't know what it is about MVP family Total Eclipse, but this thing feels so much better than either version of the glitch.
It
was so much easier for me to just take out and immediately start throwing, start learning it. So much more comfortable to throw, and it was a lot more reactive, I guess. To what I was trying to, or what I was inputting. It was a lot more reactive to that. So very teachable.
That's great.
I'm chuckling at Chaser in the chat here. Chaser is a moderator inside the MVP community. And he's like, pitch first, pitch greater than glitch. Let's go.
Yeah.
That's right. It's true.
Yeah. When you're out on the course playing right now, what are you doing? Like, when are you grabbing the pitch? Like, what kind of shots are you throwing with it? What holes are you usually using it on? I'm just curious, like, how has it affected your normal game?
Yeah. So right now, I'll tackle when I'm using it first, because how it's affected my game is kind of actually substantial.
Okay.
So when I'm using it is, easily shapeable shots or holes within 200 feet.
Okay.
I can pretty confidently throw it either straight or with some turn in that like sub 200 feet range.
Yeah. And those are really the holes you need to touch on too, right? So you really want to make sure your angles are there, but you don't want to yam on something and miss your line. Are you able to like hyzer flip this pitch, or is it really just going to give whatever input you give it is the output it's going to give?
I'm still working on the power for that. Mm-hmm. I know it's there, but I'm still kind of finding that sweet spot between it just staying on hyzer or it either turning and burning or turning and rolling. Mm-hmm. I'll admit it. My first throw with it, I went up and just yeeted it. And it, you know, it was a fantastic 180 foot roller. Mm-hmm. So
all right. Nothing wrong with that.
As someone who's team lid, it's crazy how much playing catch with that thing is going to just make you a killer on the course. Like, mm-hmm. catch for warm up, the rounds that I actually like throw my Polecat to like just warm up and play catch with it with the people that I'm like, oh, like I love that text when someone's like, oh, I'm going to be a few minutes late. And me and another guy are already there. I'm like, oh, this person is about to regret catch that time. Decision.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, Colin, for me, the inner core did a very similar thing for me when I first started mm-hmm. throwing it. It was a very like input equals output kind of disc. And it really mm-hmm. made me aware quickly of nose angle, quickly of like what my release angle. I really don't feel like I fixed my Anheuser release or my rounding. I'm still rounding a bit, but my really bad problem initially, like the inner core is what really made me aware and kind of fixed that. And came mm-hmm. put me back to that like baby hyzer angle, made me really aware of a lot of things. So hopefully the pitch will do the same thing for you. Sounds like it's kind of already doing that.
It has. So I had I started calling this thing my disc golf manual.
Okay.
The reason for it is whenever I'd come on the show, I was very confident in telling you for a while I struggled with an Anheuser release, and then I got it to somewhere between a full hyzer and a baby hyzer release. That wasn't true. This disc showed me. I started focusing on the nose angle, and whenever I felt like I was getting the nose angle down, it was turning. Now it wasn't a burn, it wasn't a roll, but it was just that panning turn that I was really mm-hmm. wanting to find. And I thought I kept grip locking it.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out, kind of looking at, you know, self videos, going through all that, I wasn't grip locking it. I still have my Anheuser release. But for the last 6 months, I've been throwing so nose up that it cancels that and acts like I've been throwing everything on hyzer. So it's been really fun learning that. For one, it was quite a trip kind of realizing that, mm-hmm. but then going through and kind of relearning my discs after that, I've gone through and fixed my flight numbers that I had altered. My Tesla, I've been relying on a lot more because it's a lot more of a straight flyer for me. It helped me fix my mid ranges. It's really made my game make a lot more sense to me than it was.
That's great. I mean, that's maybe the best possible scenario. I think you like the disc and it's really helped like just kind of shape your game overall. And I think that's awesome. I mean, who would have thought the pitch of all things?
Yeah, that's,
I know
that's, and that's the dream I would say truly for every guest we have on is like part of my thought and my philosophy and why I do what I do for the channel is that so many people, the potential to score better is not you simply changing like, oh, I fixed this hang up in my form and now I throw 200 feet farther. Yeah, sure. That would definitely help me score better if I could just suddenly throw 200 feet farther, like no doubt. But just the tools that you're bringing to the course or the decision you're making on the course, it's probably holding back. I would argue, and I don't think it's a stretch to say 85% of disc golfers have the wrong disc in their bag or they're attacking the course incorrectly. Mm-hmm. And if we could just fix those two things. So that's awesome to hear that like a new tool is also opening up a new world. So Colin, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on and sharing the testimonial.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Thank you for sending me the pitch. And congratulations on 100, and looking forward to everything else that you guys put out. We're definitely here for it.
We appreciate you a ton, man. And just a reminder, as you exit, same thing as last time, hit the leave button, hang out there for a minute, let it upload, and then We'll see you soon. And hopefully, you know, that game keeps improving, and let us know if there's anything we can do after that.
For sure. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Colin.
Yeah. I'm just so passionate about that, dude. Like, it's wild how many folks are just, yeah, like, haven't actually figured out, I changed nothing about how I attack the course. I've had the same disc in my bag for X amount of time, and my scores never change.
Yeah, right. Well, and while we're waiting on our next guest here, I think that's what finally clicked for me. So I was going to play the New London Flex last weekend. Literally, my wife, all three kids, all got sick within 2 days, and I could not leave my wife at home with three sick kids, with her being sick. I couldn't do it. Yeah. That would have been terrible of me. So I backed out. Thankfully, they're having another one here in a couple of weeks, and I'm going after that one. But I did go play a practice round at New London Longs, right, which would have terrified me in the past. Still kind of terrifies me. But I think I played the eight-hole loop, and I think I was 13 over for eight holes, the hard eight holes, right? And the hardest eight holes, I would argue. But the hole six, I think I got an eight or a nine on. But I made it to the OB before the island in five. But it was just placement, 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 placement. And I just realized very quickly in that loop that my hex was my best friend, just fairway, 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 fairway. And I'm like, man, maybe there's something to this. Maybe I should like play that way all the time, not just at New London Longs where I'm trying to hit like 86 or something, you know? So I think obviously you're onto something there, Robbie, but it's just, it's very, it's opened my mind. And it's also like, it's just like, it reminds me how little I rely on all the discs in my bag and how much I rely on a handful of discs in my bag to cut up the course and do the work.
Yeah, there comes a time, and I think one of the best things you can do for your game is find a disc at almost every speed that you can, like, you could close your eyes and know, based on me throwing this shot, this is how this is going to feel, and like I can almost pin down where it's going. Like, I think back to the first Creators Cup we did, and I was throwing pigs at the 250 foot upshot. Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing Josh be behind us like, it's over. Like this, he's just not even watching the shots. And it's like, oh yeah. Cause if you put me on a 250 foot shot with a pig, I know what's going to happen. And so finding that for you at a putter, at a mid, at a fairway, and letting that even be the, for most people, that's going to be enough. But our next guest showed up a few minutes late, but we want to get him on. Go ahead and get him in here. Want to bring Alexis in.
Yeah. All right. Here we are. Alexis, how's it going?
Hey, apologies for running a little late. I have a one-year-old in the home, so timetables get scrambled.
Hey, I could not relate to you more right now, my friend. So completely understand. Alexis, you're coming back to us. I think you're our most senior guest here, episode 55.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a minute.
It's been like, what, almost a year, basically, right? That's crazy.
Yeah, just about. I think my son had like just been born. He was maybe like a month old at the time or something.
Yeah,
like
I do remember that. I do remember that. Well, appreciate you coming back on, man. It's been a minute. All of our games have changed so much. So yeah. Robbie's going to walk you through a few questions, but I'm very excited to – I know my opinion of these discs at the time, and I know my opinion of them now. So I'm very curious to hear yours.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, so just give us a quick recap, Alexis. What was your episode focused on? And then what do we end up sending you and how they're flying for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So my episode was focused on finding an overstable mid-range. I had a good selection of sort of neutral mid-ranges, understable mid-ranges, and approach discs, and sort of had most of the other slots filled in. But I was missing like a good overstable mid-range that I could be confident in. And so we picked out the MIDI and the Quake. I think part of that was that I'm not usually into beaded discs, but we talked a bit about sort of the plastic quality of the MIDI being something I might really like, since feel is something I'm big into, but it having a bigger bead, and sort of comparing how which of those sort of mattered more to me, and seeing how they flew. So yeah, a year later, and I'm still bagging the Quake, but the MIDI has taken a spot on the shelf. I did enjoy the disc, it'll probably go to someone else who'll enjoy it more during Trash Panda's next disc exchange, most likely. Pass the love on.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what made you decide on the Quake? What kicked the MIDI out, and why is the Quake still in?
It was really hand feel between the two of them. And both of them flew great. But the MIDI, I think it was the Bravo plastic on the MIDI, which was super great, like really nice plastic. Gives me Castoplast vibes, though now that Castoplast is being made by, a new company, that may have changed. I'm not sure. I haven't felt their newest plastic. Mm-hmm. But it gave me sort of like old Castoplast vibes. I liked it a lot. But I had a similar problem with it than the Mango, where just the rim felt really tall for me, and it just I've got big palms but short fingers, and so mm-hmm. the wrapping around the edge of the rim just felt sort of uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But I love the Quake is great. It's super reliable, it's flat, it goes pretty far, but it's got that reliable fade that I was looking for. I can trust it in a bit of a headwind, I can trust it around corners. Mm-hmm. I still go to the Toro a lot, but I definitely, if I need a little bit more distance, the Quake is going to push forward a lot further than the Toro is for me.
Mm-hmm. My experience with the Quake, so Quake is my new favorite over Sable Midrange. I think at the time I was kind of like, Quake's okay, but I love the Quake now. I have the Midnight Flyer, so I have like the glow version of that, and you kind of said it, for whatever reason, even with the Bobcat, because the Bobcat used to be in that slot for me, I can throw the Quake so much farther than the Bobcat, but it still has that same amount of like hard fade at the end. It's like it has like this nice like pushing hyzer, and then it just dumps at the end for me. And
yeah, I definitely agree. It's one of those discs that, like, it's not so overstable like a Toro or like I don't know, like, people go up, this is obviously a different type of disc, but a Firebird or something, where I'm going to be like throwing flex shots with it or something. Yeah. It's that perfect level of stability where it's going to push forward and it's going to sort of correct. Like, if I throw it on a little bit of Annie, it's going to come back. It's not going to go crazy and like flip over for me. But I'm not going to throw it on like some crazy flex shot through the woods or something mm-hmm. like that. It's not really that disc. It's a lot more functional, I would say. It's like, if I need a utility disc, I'm probably going to the Coalesce or I'm going to the Toro more than I'm going to this.
Yeah. It's a very manageable amount of overstability, I think, which is really nice.
Yeah. I would say, go ahead. You got it, Alexis.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's definitely, I think I would, I still am newer to disc golf than a lot of people. I was even newer back then, but it's the type of overstability that I would feel okay giving to someone who's been playing the game for maybe a year or so. Like, maybe not a brand new player, but if you've been playing for a little bit, I don't think it's going to like overstretch your arm. I would almost, I don't know, this isn't probably not accurate. I would almost consider it like maybe a slightly slower speed. Like, I don't know if you need a crazy arm speed for it, but it's got a good amount of glide. But I've also thrown it a bunch since you guys sent it to me, so mine's getting a little bit beat in. I've got two newer ones on the shelf now, and I bet if I picked those up, they'd require a little bit more spin on them. So.
Yeah. Yeah. What I really love about this slot in particular is you talk about like not throwing it on like crazy flexes. But those baby flexes, for people who haven't really, like, if you're a predominant hyzer thrower, then most of the time your bag has to have, like, if you want a shot that moves for a right-handed player left or right, it has to be super flippy, right? Because it has to get all the way up and then burn over.
Mm-hmm.
So we almost, like, create a fear of the Anheuser to a degree. And this is a great one that you can almost, like, intentionally pull into the Anheuser and know that it's still going to hook out. Like, I don't care if you know, like, you can kind of visualize that pulling it line. Like, we have a course in town that I tried swapping out a Rift and a Quake for my reactors. I see the chat talking about reactors. Mm-hmm. I did it for a couple weeks and I stepped up to a hole that I know I reach out wide and I pull that glow reactor to my right on Anheuser and it goes down the hill. And then at the very end, it just fades. And I was like, okay, I've never thrown the Quake on this type of a line, but it seems like the right disc. And literally first try with it, like, lands 2 feet away from the basket. And it's like, yeah.
Okay. I say I don't flex it, but there's one course with one shot where I will try to, and it's this wooded course in my area, very high ceiling, like it's cleared out, but it's a pretty narrow gap, relatively speaking. And it's got this really gradual long curve to the right, followed by sort of like a final dog leg left at the end. And the Quake actually works really well. If you put it on a pretty steep Anheuser, it'll still fight out of it at the very end. So as long as I give it some height and it has the like glide to take it most of the way. So I do love it on that specific shot a lot.
Yeah, it's funny you say that too, Robbie. So like hole two at Timbrook, for all those who have watched the videos there or played there, I'm the same way. Like most people go forehand there. I love the big, like, skied out, like overstable mid. I love throwing the Quake. I've hit the basket twice. I want to ace it soon. I just feel it. But I didn't think about that until you said it, Robbie. But I think that's what makes me so accurate on that shot. I pull all the way across my body. I'm not afraid if I pull it a little too hard on Anheuser. I've not consciously thought that, but I'm realizing now that's why I love that shot. Because I'm like, I'm just going to rip this. If I turn it over a little bit, who cares? It's coming back around that tree, and I'm going to get close. So that's great.
It's definitely the disc that, like, when I'm having a really shaky round, like, I don't get to go out and play very often. I've got a 1-year-old right now. If my timing lines up with my buddies and I can make it out, it's like a blessing, and I'm out that door so fast.
Yeah.
So when I do, sometimes I'm feeling a little shaky with some of my touchier discs. So, like, sometimes I might not want to go for my understable fairways or something like that just requires a little more touch and finesse because I'm just turning them over a lot more. And so this has become one of like the three discs that I just feel like I can kind of go back to at any time. And it's low enough speed that I don't have to like crank on it. But if I do crank on it, it's not going to just like run away from me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, hey, listen, Alexis, first of all, congratulations on the new one. Glad to hear everything's going well there. I feel in my soul the lack of disc golf from that, but it's the best reason not to play.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So thanks for coming back on. Glad to hear you love the Quake. It changed my mind about the Quake because I kept going back to it after I threw it. And here we are, right? So yep. glad it helped. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being on this episode. A reminder, as you leave, make sure you hit the leave button, hang out there, let it upload, and then you're good to go, man. So we appreciate awesome. So much for coming on. Thank you for the support. Even after a whole year, you're still throwing it. Love it.
Let's yeah, appreciate go. You guys too. Keep doing what you're doing. I've been watching the show since episode one, and you know, you guys kick ass. So keep it
Thanks,
up.
Thanks, man. Hey, we appreciate yeah. you. Take care.
Take care.
All right. I love it that like it's flipping everybody like vertical yeah. before they leave. It's really funny. Hey, we're doing all right with these recommendations so far. It's getting to my head a little bit.
I was going to say, I'm waiting for someone to come on and us be like, yeah, and you know, I threw it. And if I'm looking, I see one possibility for sure that is going to be a little sketchy. Not this guest, but the next one, just because it's not a very popular mold. So
yeah,
maybe
that's going to be interesting. Yeah. That's the one I had a question mark on too, to be honest with you. Hey, my son Eli is watching. Shout out Eli. What's up? So yeah, let's bring in Mitchell from episode 71.
Yes, sir.
Mitchell, how's it going, man?
It's going good.
Glad to have you back on, all the way from episode 71.
Yes, sir.
About half a year, a little over half a year since we saw you. How's everything going?
It's pretty good. I've been playing in some more tournaments and going out and playing more in the woods.
Okay, awesome.
I love it.
Well, Robbie's going to walk you through a few things here. Kind of everybody, we're just kind of like getting caught up with you, getting caught up with the episode. And then really what we all want to know is, did the disc make the bag, right? So, Robbie, if you want to walk them through.
Yeah, I mean, Brad got it. So, how'd episode 71? What were we targeting, and what did we send you, and how's it flying for you?
You guys sent me a Roadrunner. I think the main thing about that episode was my bag was very neutral for woods golf, and so you guys were looking for something a little bit more understable in a higher speed, but not quite a distance driver. And I mean, honestly, it turned out pretty good. I, you know, out there throwing it on Annie, and it's just holding that nice angle and coming back slightly at the end, and it's going where my forehands can't.
So, okay.
Hey, we like that. What are you throwing for when you're throwing forehands? Where are you throwing for forehands?
A lot of mid ranges, and if I have to go off the tee, I have a Halo Beast now and a C-Line PD. From Discmania. I got in the holiday disc swap, both of them.
Oh, sweet.
So that was pretty cool.
Dude. Okay, awesome. So how is the Roadrunner really made you think differently about like the courses you're playing?
So I play a course every day in Clarksville, and it has a hole two gold. It's a V. And when my forehand would go, I'd always end up about 50 short because, you know, it goes straight up and it saws off. And this, you know, you get that angle right and you don't have to full power it, and it just gets that all the way glide over to the pin. And so now when I'm going out and playing these courses, I'm like, okay, so I have this window over here now that I can throw on that Annie and get that nice smooth curve.
Yeah. And especially for playing woods golf, I think that's like an important – Has it opened up your eyes too? Because I love, my favorite thing about that wasn't even necessarily the shot shape. It was the, when I know that I don't have to throw a full power and I can get it to move in that direction. Has it kind of opened up like even like a, maybe a mid-range slot that you tried out? Like, have you been searching for other speed options of a similar slot yet?
Well, I had a disc in my bag that Brad actually brought up. It was the Mockingbird. And so I've been using the Mockingbird like that, but also I've been using the Mockingbird for kind of a standstill lean out forehand that just flips up and kind of turns a little bit and stays straight. So I've been playing more with the understable. For mid-range wise, I still keep my same mid-ranges. I don't have the Toro anymore. I switched it out for a Culprit, which seems to do better in the base plastic. It sticks more.
Okay.
But other than that, I'm still using that same M4 and that same Quake and the Lozado. So they're there.
Yeah,
I've definitely picked up more distance, so it's like the Quake goes straighter now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, the guest right before you, we were talking about Quakes and how much we both love the Quake. Robbie's throwing a Quake. It didn't make your bag though, right, Robbie? It's just experimental disc.
My reactors, unfortunately, it was more so the Rift not beating out the Fission reactor. And the Quake and the Eclipse reactor were basically doing the exact same thing, so I was like, I don't know. So
yeah, I hear you. Well, hey, that's awesome, Mitch. I'm glad to hear that Roadrunner is really, and it seems to be a theme, so hopefully we're doing a good job here on In the Bag on not just recommending a disc, but recommending like a mindset to like kind of open you up to more options or different shot types, right? And it's kind of been a theme. When we're recommending discs, we don't want to just recommend a one-shot disc, right? We don't want like a trick disc. We don't just want like a specialty disc. We really want something that's going to open up more of your game, more shots. And it seems like the Roadrunner is doing that for you. So that's very awesome to hear for sure.
Yeah, dude. So Mitchell, we appreciate you coming on, man. And we just a reminder when you head out, because we got our unfortunately we're rapid firing tonight. So
hey, I understand. To hang out
chat, so. But yeah, when you head out, if you'll make sure you let it upload, like times of the past, and dude, I wish you the best of luck with that Roadrunner. I hope it continues to fly beautifully for you.
Oh, I appreciate it. I use it all the time.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you. We'll see you all soon.
See ya.
Doop. Bang. The Roadrunner's a sneaky good disc.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I've thought about it a lot since I've thrown it in that episode, if I'm being honest. Every time I walk by, especially the Halo one, I'm like, that again, I'm trying not to change my bag, Robbie. I'm trying to be competitive here. I'm trying to like.
I think the Halo Roadrunner probably could give you similar shots to what the Halo Leopard 3 is doing, but more variety as well. I would be curious side by side how a Halo Roadrunner for you and a Halo Leopard 3 flew, like what the difference would be.
Yeah, I might have to try it out. We're getting some custom stamp ones here soon, so another spoiler. We're throwing out some custom discs over the next couple months, gang, so just be ready for it. Hey, in the chat, since we got some live chat before we bring in our next guest, Brad, what in the bag custom stamps do you all want to see next? I think we're all sold out. I think we maybe have a few Origins left, but we're sold out of them. Thank you all for that. What custom stamps in the bag disc do you want to see next? Do you want the in the bag logo? Do you want a different thing on them? Let us know in the chat. We do read those. I'd be very curious to see. No. So, all right, shall we let Brad in? This is the one. Yeah, Elijah,
All
right, here we go. Yeah, I'm worried about this one. Brad, how is it going, my friend?
Pretty good.
I'll be honest. We're worried about this one. Episode 78. We recommended.
I heard earlier.
Yeah, we recommended the Discraft Zombie. But before we get to there, how's everything going? How's your game going? And like, let's talk a little bit about what we were working on in your episode.
Yeah. So good. I am not getting out nearly as much as I want. I'm starting to get concerned or confused. I also have three children in the house and the same name as you, and we're both from Ohio. It's getting a really confusing. Like,
this is strange. This is strange.
Three big beards.
Hey, maybe it's like,
co-host? Are you the guy who I've been hanging out with every week?
Yeah.
I made sure to put guest Brad as my name down here.
Yeah.
It's just getting way too close. Yeah. So I'm not playing as much as I'd like, but, actually I got out during the solar eclipse cause I was right in the pathway essentially. That's and got awesome. To play a little bit that day. So not bad, not bad.
Okay. Well, great. So on your episode, what did we talk about during episode 78?
We were talking about like a straight mid was the hole that could be filled pretty easily. Or like a pretty obvious missing piece in my bag. I looked back at it and I'm like, well, that's not the only one for sure. But it at the time, it definitely felt and looked like a pretty open spot in the bag.
Yeah. And Robbie, if I recall right, there was like in that like 60, 70, like in those episodes, we were really trying because there were a lot of bags that had mid-range problems. So we were really trying to like, hey, we got to like grab some other like obvious things we need to fix here. So tell us, Discraft Zombie, is it still in the bag? Did it make the bag?
It is still in the bag.
Wow.
So the problem that occurs now, though, is I figured out that my Rock 3 is so beat in. They are flying very similar. It has a little less... The zombie has less turn and less fade than the beat-in Rock 3. So it does have a small roll is like that, right out of my hand, straight as an arrow for X number of feet or what have you, if I have like a tunnel shot or something like that, because I can't do that with the Rock 3. It's beat-in so much, it turns pretty... I probably could throw it on like a decent hyzer and keep it flat and straight. Mm-hmm. But I cannot throw that thing just straight as an arrow and keep it on that line for a long time. So at the moment, it's in there as like maybe the only disc in my bag that if I release it, it's just going to go straight. But it does kind of fit a very similar role to my Rock 3. I probably need a new Rock 3 and then some other things.
Right, right.
That's it.
But it almost... is in my bag. So.
Yeah, go ahead.
I play with very few people other than like my children. So like, I'm not getting a lot of crap for stuff I have. Like you guys talk about it all the time. I have a dart in the bag. I did bag a groove for a little while and I only threw it on one thing and I never used it. That's why that's the only reason it's out of the bag, honestly. So like, I don't mind having the weird stuff in my bag and nobody's going to know. I don't play with anybody, but it's still there.
Okay.
Your Rock 3, the Rock 3 zombie relationship sounds to me eerily similar to when I think about the end of a T-bird and the end of an eagle. Because how I describe the eagle to people is that the eagle is just a more extreme T-bird. So like the eagle, when you hit an eagle hard, if you have the arm speed to hit an eagle well, it's going to have more turn than a T-bird is, like both stock, right? Like obviously you can season in a T-bird. Calvin Heinberg for a long time, a T-bird with his like fairway roller disc. Just as an example, right?
Yeah.
So they can obviously season in, but like they turn more, but also the eagle fades more at the end as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so while that can feel like, oh man, like I like the zombie and the straightness of it, I almost wonder if the inconsistency of the Rock 3, like if you just put a new Rock 3 in to fly, like what you wanted the Rock 3 to fly like, and you just trusted, like, I don't have the zombie, I have just this Rock 3. I feel like you might find that confidence with it to even find those straight shots even more. But obviously, if you're not playing as much as you normally would, I could also see that being a world where mold minimalization may not be the best world, because it's like, I need that thing to fly laser straight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually thinking it's probably one of those situations where I probably need, similar to how you bag pigs, I probably need two in there. Because I have no problem with the like not straight flight of the Rock 3. I kind of like it. I find it just a touch easier to get that nice Anheuser, just really big pan if I really need it when it's a little more beat in. So I'm not unhappy with where my Rock 3 is, and I'm pretty confident about what it's doing at this point. I just did not realize how. I didn't realize how less stable it had become until I got the zombie to compare, and I went, oh,
yeah,
not really getting the kind of overstability that I was thinking I was with the Rock 3 anymore.
Yeah.
And that's also a modern Rock 3. Like if you're buying like stock Rock 3s now, they are just not as stable as like if you go to a used section, you're able to find like a 2-time Paul Macbeth Rock 3. I think about like Trevor is misrepresenting the Rock 3 in almost all his videos because he has this yellow Rock 3 that he's like, oh yeah, here, watch me throw it. And he throws it on like this much Anheuser and it fights out every single time. And it's like, my brother in Christ, that is not how they fly. If we went to foundationdisc.com and we bought a Rock 3, that is not the product that I am receiving.
Yeah. I'm looking at trying to like get the metal flake ones or, like they have a Halo one now, and I love the feel of Halo plastic.
Yep.
So I think that's probably how I get back to like that. Because mine's, gosh, how old is mine now? 6-7 years old or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I had a feeling they weren't quite the same, just based on how I've noticed a couple other things. I did get a new. You mentioned on the episode I was on. How G-Star plastic didn't feel the same. And I didn't recognize that I do know that because that red Wraith I have in my bag doesn't feel the same as my white one. And I just thought it was just not as good as my white one.
Yeah.
And it's that it's different plastic.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it took me coming on the show and then like comparing them a handful of times. I'm like, what is wrong with this? I was like, this disc is just off. I just need to beat it in. And then I was like, oh, wait. No, it's just not the same plastic.
Yep.
So yeah, I think I'll probably go like Halo Rock 3 or something just to kind of refill that role. If once that occurs, we'll see if the zombie stays in or not. It's green and my middle child absolutely loves green discs. So it may end up getting passed down just because of color. Because that's how they get discs.
Yeah. Hey, right. if it's good, keep in the bag is not exclusive to your bag, Brad. It could be
Amen. Your son's bag.
Amen. Yeah, that's a good point.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, we thank you so much. We got our other guests in the lobby here. But thanks again for coming on, Brad. Again, when you leave, hit the leave button, hang out in the lobby for a minute, wait for it to upload, and then you're good to go. And thank you again for coming back on. We greatly appreciate it. And best of luck. Hope you get up to play some more.
Thank you. Have fun, guys.
I'll say, if my Brad ends up not being able to make an episode, apparently I know where his doppelganger is.
Yeah, so you just call up Brad, other Brad from Ohio.
Yes, Brad.
Yeah, right, right. All right. Well, hey, Gus is in. I'm curious about Gus's too, because here's my hope for him. My hope for him is he comes on, yep, and he is like, yes, I can throw these waves so far. That's what I hope he says.
I hope so as well. I hope so as well.
So here we go. Whoa,
Gus,
how's it going, man?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. On my screen, you just like popped in the middle. I know I'm looking on the live, you're on the same side everybody else has been on, but on mine, you're like, boom, Gus is in the middle. Right. So how's it going, man? I mean, it's not been too many episodes, right? It's been about a month or so.
Yeah, about a month. It's been good. It's been real good. Definitely staying busy.
I hear that. So for your episode 96, we actually sent you out two fission waves. I know they were both, I think, varying weights, if I remember correctly. So Robbie, let's talk to Gus a little bit about his bag, his episode.
Yeah. So Gus, we were talking lightweight distance drivers, trying to get some more easy distance for you. How did we hit the mark? Did we miss the mark? How are the waves?
No, y'all nailed it. The waves have been great. Y'all inspired me to actually pick up an extra one and a different plastic to see.
Heck yeah.
Do what he does, but these two have been workhorses since you guys sent them over.
Sweet.
I had a tournament at a pretty new course down in Milledgeville, Georgia, right in the middle of nowhere. 390-foot hole, a little bit downhill, so reachable. Birdied it twice in both rounds.
Heck yeah.
Before that, getting a 315-foot hole was all I got. So it's been a huge boost. Been a lot of fun throwing around, a lot of fun messing around with the real light one. But the 68 one has just been, it's trustworthy. You know, it's not so flippy that I can't, you know, oops, there's wind, I can't use it. But yeah, it's been great.
Awesome. And Gus, I don't know if you have any additional gain on your mic, but folks are saying maybe if you can turn that up, that would be helpful.
Ooh, I can certainly try.
But no, that's awesome. I think the thing I love about lightweight MVP, lightweight gyro discs, and Robbie, correct if I'm wrong, it just feels like you can throw them so far, but for me, my arm speed, I'm not losing the stability that I expect with the lightweight in the fission plastic.
Yeah, I mean, that's fission to a T is what it was designed to be. Is like, I remember when Conrad joined MVP and like the Holy Shot putting them truly in the hearts of so many people. But Conrad talking about, he was like, oh yeah, you have these photons that are like 156 grams that mm-hmm. the FPO players are loving because they still fly like photons. And it's like, well, how is this 156 grams? This supposed to, like, the only plastic that I'm aware of in the world outside of fission that gets super lightweight and still holds is Trilogy Air plastic.
True.
Because that stuff, give me a Fusion or a Lucid Air Evader, and that is the most overstable run of Evaders that exists.
There you go. Yeah,
it's wild.
Had one ready.
There you go. So, yeah, your mic's much better, by the way.
Okay, good. Perfect.
Yeah, so Gus, talk to us. What's the difference, like, in, you said having fun messing around with like the lightweight one. What are you seeing as the difference between the two?
I don't know if it's speed out of my hand or if it's just the, you know, I can rip it a little farther with the lightweight, but there's been holes where it's big dog leg rights that if I throw the heavier one, the 170-ish one, it's going to fade out at some point. You know, it's not going to turn all the way over. With the 150 one, I can turn it all the way over, which I've never been able to do with an 11 speed. And that's been super useful because I don't have a super big forehand. So on holes that, you know, people I'm playing with who are throwing 280, 300 foot forehands, I now can reach those and I've not been able to before. And so it's fun just watching that flight. It's fun watching, you know, a shot shape that I've never had in the bag before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I love turning backhand andes over to 200 feet or 230, whatever it is, with a in a mid range or something like that, but never past that 300-foot mark.
Fascinating. Yeah. That's so great. So they both made the bag then.
Oh, 100%. And a third.
So what's the plastic for the third?
I went out and found a used Proton that's 175 grams. And it's kind of taken a lot of... First things first, it's a big headwind fighter. If I need max distance, but I don't trust... If there's a big headwind, and I don't trust either of the fissions, I know, like, okay, I have something that's a little kick up in stability. But also, it's kind of taken over spots of other discs. Like, I've had... I still have a Locus in the bag, but there are times where I'm like, yeah, you know, this is typically a Locus shot, but I can get there easier just throwing the overstable wave.
Mm. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, hey, that's maybe the first feedback tonight. Both of them made the bag and a third. So that's interesting. So, well, it's good. I mean, I think there's something about when you find that disc you're really confident with. It's not like an 11 speed, but for me, when I found the FD, I'm just comfortable with all of my FDs. Like, it doesn't matter if it's my more overstable one, my really flippy one, my neutral, like normal FD. There's just something about finding that, that disc, that mold you just feel super confident in.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just it. I feel like I can throw my FD 500 feet. I cannot even throw it close to that. I can barely throw it, you know, 320, 350, you know, on a great day, right? But I'm so confident off the tee. So hopefully, it sounds like that's what the wave is kind of giving you. You're like, hey, I've unlocked, I'm on level three now. Like, you've like unlocked a whole new level of what you do.
Oh, 100%. It's interesting going to courses I've played 100 times, just trying to see, like, okay, this is, I've always thrown X disc here, but let's see what I can do with a wave. You know, let's see if it's easier or if I can, you know, it's more trustworthy, this line that I don't typically take because it's higher. It's, you know, as I said, it's a big backhand ante that normally had fade out before that. So I don't try it because it's going to go push too deep and stuff like that. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, dude. That's awesome. Great to hear.
Yeah, I and that makes my heart so happy with these, the distance drivers, especially when we recommend one to people. I'm always like, the internet is full of empty promises when it comes to, oh, here's easy distance. Oh, you can grab this and it, like, does it sell stuff? Oh, it sure does. Does it get clicks? It sure does. But like, I always, my heart like breaks a little bit for the people struggling with distance, because as someone myself who, like, it is, it literally has put me out of commission. Like, I'm not throwing right now because I have hurt myself trying to go for distance. And so it's like, it makes my heart really happy to hear, oh, there's holes that I just literally couldn't reach before. And with just a disc change, I can get it. So Gus, I'm stoked for you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I really appreciate it. The biggest one that keeps coming to my mind, for those of you who played Georgia disc golf, East Roswell Park hole 17 is just infamous because it's stupid. Big right dog leg, trees in the middle. Just a, for me, I mean, always it's been a chip up forehand, hoping to get somewhere close to a fairway. But now it's, you know, I'm going for it with this lightweight wave and getting close, which is just super cool.
Dude, that's amazing. Fairway is such a great description of that entire course. Yeah. There are less treed spots.
Exactly. Yeah, there's parts that you can see the basket, and then there's the rest of it.
That's, I love awesome. It. Well, Gus, we appreciate you coming on a Friday night, man. And we will, just a reminder, when you hit leave, make sure you let it finish uploading. But we will catch you later, sir.
Yeah, thanks again, guys.
Appreciate you, Gus. Thanks, man.
Yep.
Yeah. Brad, like, I can't say that, like, truly, as someone who, I talked with Hunter earlier this week when I was like, man, I hurt my elbow. Like, I'm not going to be throwing. I'm not going to be putting. I'm not going to be doing anything before I get up to that trip, because I know that my foundation weeks are a little more stress on the arm than normal anyways. So I'm so stoked for him. I would love to know, chat, if you guys, like, what's a distance driver or even a fairway driver that you got a hold of that it was like, wow, this just opened up holes for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I hate to hear that. So hopefully you're healed up before you come up here. We got a mission. We got to play the Lynchburg College and Heritage. We got to play the 18 holes there. That's what the weekly is going to be. If nothing else,
dude,
you got to come do that.
I can only, like, my dream is that we're playing and that like the worst score amongst everyone playing the weekly that week is like 2 over or something like that. Or like we're like 1 under, you know, like we just destroy those courses just to like all of us just to look at them like,
yeah,
guys, it was here.
Yeah, right. Well, and the other thing too that's going to hopefully happen that week, Jason and I have a battle that we have to settle. We've got some beef to settle. It's not really any beef. It's just we're going to play. My stack has been sitting here behind me, Robbie, of those discs we drafted. So I'm very excited to do that as well.
As someone who, like I said, is trying to recover from injury, and I'm trying to figure out as many clever ways to like put a video out that is disc golf that is me not throwing with my right arm. That's definitely one of them. So I'm excited to see it, excited to commentate it. And it's always when I come up to film for those weeks, I would try to make sure the guys have like some breathing room to do the rest of their job. And so that's a fun one of like, while we're doing our normal filming, you and Jason can do your normal job and then I can steal you two so they can do their normal job.
Wild. Hey, it's those weeks are always a lot of fun, a lot of stuff going on, not a lot of time for like hanging out, but we try to do our best. So hey, we're at the last guest for the night. Hey, this time this has just flown by, which is absolutely insane. But let's get our next guest on. They were on for episode 73. This was the other question mark. So we will see how this goes. So let's let them in, Robbie, if you're ready.
I'm ready for Mr. Tyler Tulowitzki.
There he is.
Dude, my man's on the course. Are you in Charlotte?
I am in Charlotte right now. We're wrapping up on hole 17 at Plantation Ruins.
Dude, come on. How was the drive?
It was pretty smooth. It got a little wet, so I got a little nuts with the traffic, but it wasn't bad. We all got here pretty reasonably.
That's awesome. Well, I had the pleasure of meeting you in person this morning, which was awesome.
Yeah. So that was good times.
Yeah, for sure. We got to talk a little bit about a few things. So before we jump in your episode, I've got to know, because I've not heard yet, you all went out to play New London Longs before you left. Did you make it there, and did you finish? And how was it?
So yes and yes. It was very long. It was longer than I expected. But all you have to do is like, it feels bad because you're like, oh, the fairway's wide open. Just throw it down the middle, which we can do. But like, you're like, oh my gosh, I just threw like three really good flip up fairway shots, and I'm still 400 feet out on hole six. Like ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a challenge. So, how did you all do? Did you do better than expected or worse than expected?
I think I threw I threw better than expected, but I don't think I did better than expected. Like on the first, like I was so focused the first six holes because they were like, hey, the first six holes, you got to be focused. And I was like, all right, done. So I was locked in. But then I got the hole seven. I said, oh, I can take a vacation. And go ahead, Matt. And so then, it was rough. So the front nine, not the prettiest. And then the back nine, we were running out of time. So we had to go play triples on the back nine.
Nice.
We're here for it. Well, dude. Tell us real fast, because I know you're running out of daylight and you're trying to finish the round with the boys. For those of you who don't know, Tyler is one of the four hosts for the Unfinished Business podcast, a foundation adjacent podcast. I don't know how the verbiage all works there, but
we are supported.
Okay, I love it. Yeah. So tell us, you came on and you had a Prodigy Shadow Fax that got sent your way.
Yeah,
how does it fly?
So when I first got it, I wasn't totally excited to throw it because I wanted a 7-speed straight fairway. So when Brad was like, yo, do the Shadow Fax, I was like, great, 9-speed, that's not what I wanted, but I'll do it. To Robbie and ABB, you guys can say hi in a minute. Let me finish and then you guys can say hi. Okay. And so anyways, I threw it and I didn't initially love it, but then I ended up loving it. Then I made a huge mistake and bought a bunch of DGA just for the fun of it in the wintertime. And then I got a pipeline in my hand, and now that has completely replaced the Shadow Fax. The Shadow Fax is great. Loved it in the woods. Really controlled, like, baby hyzer to, like, have, like, a low ceiling. It's really controlled. But then, dude, the pipeline is just absolutely goated. We all love the pipeline, and we all throw it. So, unfortunately, I am throwing the pipeline now, but Shadowfax, great suggestion, and I think everyone should absolutely try it. The plastic is so good.
Yeah. Okay. That new, what was it, 500 or 400? Do you remember?
500. 500. Yeah. I think it was like technically the proto version, I think, is what people were telling me. They're like, oh, that's the proto version. I was like, oh, okay, I didn't know.
Yeah, because I think I sent you the one from my personal collection, if I recall.
Oh, wow. So now I got to really honor it. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. No, hey, that's okay. That's okay.
Have you thrown the pipeline from Cole's from this year? Oh, Corey's here. What's up, Corey?
What's up?
Hey, Corey just bought it. Corey just bought it today, and he threw it on the very first hole, and it was absolutely ripped. It was perfect right down the middle.
Oh, yeah. That's what. A little more stable than previous pipelines.
So it's definitely more stable.
Yeah. We got the whole unfinished crew.
Did I rotate?
It rotated-esque. Yeah. We can see everybody, but it's vertical.
Yeah.
there we go.
Bang. I thought it was Taylor in the background. I couldn't tell. I was like, oh, man, who's that guy?
Matt's going to throw it real quick.
I love it. Well,
we're trying to finish up on 18, man. We're almost done here.
Yeah. Well, hey, we'll let you get to it, brother. But, dude, I completely agree on the pipeline, but I appreciate the gleaming recommendation for the Shadowfax as well.
Yeah.
The pipies are great, but the Shadowfax is just as good. I just like the pipies a little bit more.
Hey, I hear that. Hey, we appreciate y'all. Y'all have fun out there. Be safe.
Thanks, man.
And hey, when you jump off, hey, man. Yeah, shout out to Corey as well. In there. Hey, make sure when you all leave, you stay in the app for a second. Let it upload.
Sure. I need to hit the end call and just say a little.
Yep. Just hit end call and I'll let it upload. Yep. Thanks, dude. Y'all have a good one. Good luck on 18.
Appreciate it, Tyler. Yep.
Dude. What a great crew. I love those guys. If you guys don't, I think they film Tuesday nights after debate night usually finishes. They take off. So definitely go check them out.
Oh, leave.
That's funny. Yeah. They're in the dark. They're really trying. They're almost done. They're ready to finish that whole 18 there. So we did it, Robbie. That was a lot of guests very quickly. I think as an average, I think we did pretty okay. I think we're given some good recommendations. So over 100 episodes, I feel like we definitely got better as time went along and definitely have recommended a lot of discs. But I'm looking over here at like all the discs in front of me and I'm like, still a lot of discs to be thrown. I've thrown 10%.
No. I mean, I look at the DGA world even, right? And it's like, I think we've thrown a pipeline on this podcast before, like as a recommendation, but I can't guarantee that we have. Thankfully, Ben made like a chart for us, so I can look it up in the chart just to make sure. Mm-hmm. But like DGA has a lot of great discs. I know we talked about Lone Star has some great plastic. Like I stand by y'all. I think Bravo Plastic by Lone Star is in my top three favorite plastics that are out there.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's so much. Like, Millennium's come into our world. I'm really liking some of their stuff. I mean, there's just so much. Some of the new stuff Prodigy sent us and, like, rethinking Prodigy Land. I mean, you have everything from Thought Space. We have Discraft thrown in new plastic. We have MVP thrown new plastic. Trilogy's putting out new, like, everybody's up in their game. And it's just going to keep getting there. So it makes me hopeful that we have a lot more episodes, a lot more recommendations to give. And, you know, as we said before, as always, make sure you leave in the comments, what do you want to see? Do you want to see a Freaky Friday episode where we flip-flop and I'm making recommendations and Robbie's throwing? I know people have said, hey, can we get some 400-foot throwers on here? And that maybe is a good time for a Freaky Friday episode, Robbie. We can do more disc drafting. And then again, now with our YouTube channel, which we're going to launch in a couple weeks, actually, we're going to have opportunity to do some more solo content, more live content, things like that. So just let us know what you want to see. We're happy to do that. Again, this is your all's podcast, and we're just grateful that we have the opportunity to do this alongside of you. And, you know, I got to personally thank Robbie as a friend, as a coworker, as a teammate. I mean, it's been awesome, man. It's been so much fun. Like a couple years ago, I've always wanted to have a podcast. I think everyone wants to have a podcast, right? And I never thought I'd be able to, let alone be one that I really love and let alone one that I really enjoy doing and I look forward to every week. So I just want to say thank you for hanging out and being an awesome friend and co-host.
Dude, I thank you for pushing through the rain. And the fun part is, y'all, is like the weather I could care less about. The only time that the weather ever becomes an issue for me is if I lose power because it's storming. But Brad is the rock star who pushes through and gets those discs sent out to all of our guests that come through, makes that all happen. So, and then we just want to say thank you once again to y'all for listening. We want to say thank you to the guests who come on. It is an intimidating thing to know that, like, I'm going to be in front of a camera and I'm going to talk to these two guys that are completely normal human beings, but over 2,000 people are going to be listening to this every single week. You guys blow our minds that we have the reception we do. The fact that we ran discs and like the in the bag discs are sold out, and you can still buy grip lock discs and you can still buy, you know, tour life discs. I'm not talking the quantities of either of them, but I'm just saying that one podcast kind of got the support.
You guys, and that's one thing. I mean, I haven't looked this week yet, but just looking at the Disc RPM community, we're like very close to 1500 people, guys. That's crazy. And Robbie, we're closer to like 5,000 listens a week, really, on average. So there's a ton of you. We just appreciate all of you. Listen to us talk. We all just love discs, and hopefully you all do too. And I mean, I think at the end of the day, we all do this because we love it. We all like to find discs. If they're good, we throw them in the bag. And that's just why we exist. So we're very grateful for all of you. Thank you for supporting our initiatives. I'm not going to do a What's New in the Warehouse this week. I want to keep it simple. We wanted this to be about you all, but thank you for all your support. If you do want to continue supporting us, there's an In the Bag collection on foundationdisc.com. You can make sure you check that out. We have all kinds of merch there. We have minis. We have patches now. If you haven't had a patch, make sure you check them out. So just thank you all for that support. Thank you for supporting people that support us, like Disc RPM, Manscaped, very like frequent sponsors that we get, BetterHelp, things, Aura, things like that. Thank you for supporting those, because again, without you all doing what you do and supporting those people that support us, we can't do what we do. So we're grateful. Thank you all so much. Thanks for tuning in with us live. If you're listening to this post-produce, we still appreciate you just the same. And Robbie, I guess all that's left to be said is, if it's good,
keep it in the back. We'll see you guys for 101.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.